Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Eruvin daf Nun Chet. And we're holding the Halakha Mishnah on the Zion Amud Beit, and we're going to be talking about the logistics of measurements. Now, the logistics of measurements, just think a little bit of what we're up against in terms of these measurements. So we have to determine, we've been very anxious to sort of make an even tchum, this idea of giving a straight line and make it north, south, east, west, and so on. Does it take into consideration some actual problems? Namely, if you, let's say you're a person who's walking out of the tchum, okay? And you don't have this, this straight line that's measured. Obviously it's going to make a big difference whether you took road A or road B or road C, right? Because you've got ups and downs, and maybe there's areas where there were types of buildings in the middle that force you to go upstairs, downstairs. So how exactly are you going to be able to really get to one space at the same always, no matter where you measure from? Obviously you won't, because you can't take into consideration the variations in heights and depths as you're walking. And sometimes your 2,000 amas may end as the crow flies. They may end at, 1,900 amas, So basically, this whole idea of providing a tchum that is a standardized tchum is really a big, big kula. The Rabbana. Now, let's say we were talking about the cases that we were talking about earlier, where we were dealing with measuring things midiraisa. So there we were measuring how close you are to the city in terms of Egla Rufa, where you found the murdered individual. Over there, you couldn't do any kind of this shtick. You would have to actually, you can't do as the crow flies. You would have to actually measure, they were talking about Madote. Madote means you measure how much it would take you to walk to that city. Now, if there's hills in the middle or valleys, you have to go up, you have to go down, and so on. All of that counts. Every step in a hill or a valley will count. Same thing is true, Lagabe, measuring whether you're in the other concept of Tum, which is whether you're in the Ore Miklat, in terms of the protection of the Ir Miklat, which over there has the same din as all of the Ore Levim, all the Ore Miklat, of course, the Ore Levim. So you have over there your 2,000 amas. Over there, that concept is an actuality concept. You can't be makel over there to say, let's just sort of pretend that it's one straight line. So when we're coming to pretend, so obviously this means that the Rabbanan gave us a general, very lackadaisical methodology of giving us a tchum on Shabbos, because the 2,000 amas is essentially a Darabbanan, and because of that, they didn't make it very difficult for us to measure those 2,000 amas. So let's talk about the practicalities. The bottom line is, we're going to be bumping into hills, we're going to be bumping into walls, we'll be bumping into valleys. How exactly do we deal with those kinds of interruptions? And on a particular, on a practical level, for a surveyor, how exactly do we survey it? So it turns out that once again, the Chatzar HaMishkan comes to our rescue. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, it teaches us how to measure. Okay, so obviously this is all asmachtas, but the question over there is, it says chamishim ba chamishim, and that means we should use a standard measurement of a 50 amma long measuring tape. When we say measuring tape, it's made out of, as we'll see, it's made out of linen, because that was the material that's mentioned beferish in Yecheskel when the Malach was measuring, and we have in Zechariah also a Malach that's measuring. And as a matter of fact, we would use metal if it wouldn't be for the fact that the Malach didn't use metal. The Malach didn't use a laser measure, and he didn't use a metel measure. It says that he had a chevel midah, which means it was a string of some kind, and we'll discuss that. So what do we do when we come to a valley? Or what do we do when we come to a hill? Or what do we do when we come to a wall? So we have a couple of general klolim. And the general klolim all reflect this basic kula, derabbanan. So obviously, if we were talking about being moded in a real deraisa situation, we got to determine which ear is krova el hamet. There, we would do whatever we got to do. If we got to snapple down into a valley, we'll take the measuring with us, we'll snapple down with the measurement into a valley, walk across the floor, climb up carrying the chut, measuring with this and so on, and we'll get the actual amount that it took us to go in Amos from one end to the other, and that, wow, that may take off like half of a trum, that could take off half of the trum, for heaven's sakes. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Trum Shabbos, which the Rabbanon were making on. So there we have a number of techniques. One technique is called Havla'ah. The technique of Havla'ah gives a very simple statement of Kula. If it is possible to pass the rope of Chamishim Amos over the obstruction, we ignore the obstruction's ups and downs, right? So in other words, let's say you have this valley. You may have the Grand Canyon, and you're in a place where you're very close one side to the other side. Now, if you were going to measure going all the way down, your trum might end like in the middle of heading downwards, right? But if you can cut across that valley with your Chamishim Amah rope, we totally ignore it. How about if you cannot actually cut across that valley? Well, there's still ways to cut across a valley where you can't cut across a valley. For instance, suppose right now in the line that I have chosen to measure, let's say, due west, I bump into, in the middle of that line, I bump into the due west line into this like really wide stream. Well, what am I going to do now? Or this really wide valley. Or what am I going to do now? Well, I look to the right and I see that, hey, interesting, about 500 feet down, it actually narrows to the point where I would be able to cross it with the Hevel of Chamishim Amah. I can do that. And if I do that, all I need to do is count that Chamishim Amah, move back to where I was, and continue. I mean, obviously, I can't literally move back to where I was because that'll be in the middle of the valley. So according to Rashi, what you would do is you would keep measuring in units of the 50 until you get to a point where you can move back to where you were, and then you just continue on measuring, which is the most reasonable way of understanding the sugya. The bigger kula, which is the way some of the Rishonim understand the sugya, is that if you can span the valley anywhere which is within the trum, in other words, you can't go outside the trum more than 2,000 amas to the other side of the city, but if it's within 2,000 amas of the end of the city to the right or to the left, you can span it over there, and then you can give it an official surveyor's measurement, this valley is 50 amas. Then you can go back to where you were before. And there, even if the valley is quite obviously 10 times as wide, you just say, well, it says over here, the surveyor says this valley is 50 amas, so I'm going to treat it like 50 amas, and then you just continue walking from the end of the valley as if it were only 50 amas. That's an even bigger kula. Okay, but that's the ultimate din of havla'ah, mavlio, to subsume. Now, what if you can't subsume it? There's no place where you can actually cross it with Chamishim Amas. Now, even there we have a kula. Instead of actually snappling down, dragging the measuring thing with you, cutting across the bottom, climbing back up, which could be very, very long because it includes measuring the entire incline with whatever was involved on that incline, what we do is we bore a virtual hole either through a mountain or we cut a line through the horizontal of the valley while not taking into consideration every last inch of the incline on the way down or the way up. How do we do that? Well, what we do is we segment it. And we segment it with a shorter rope. And what we do is we do it in little pieces. So we take, normally the surveyors have to hold the rope. Each one holds the rope at the same spot on the body, which is approximately, you hold it connected to your heart, and then it'll be approximately the same height on each end. When you're going down a valley or up a mountain, in order to be able to avoid measuring the slope, which is our kula, the Rabbanan said you can do without measuring the slope. So then what you do is you measure it in steps, and you create steps that ignore the slope and that only look at the horizontal distance of each step. So instead of actually building a stairway to heaven, what you do is you hold the rope. One guy holds the rope at his feet, and the other guy goes and holds the rope at his heart again. So that's the first step. It's horizontal, okay? That's one rope. Then he turns around, holds the rope at his feet. The next guy goes to the point where he can hold the rope at his chest, and that's step number two, and we ignore the vertical. That's the horizontal step. Do we go all the way down like this, and then we go all the way up the other side like that, And that is called boring straight through the mountain. If we're going up, boring through the valley, so to speak, without taking into consideration slopes at all. So that's called kidur, which means literally to drill a hole straight through it. Right? So we're going to be mekader baharim, and we can use that kula as well. Tremendous kula, which we can ignore the slope. Well, there's also another interesting halacha, which is where you can ignore the slope in a different way. And you can ignore the slope if the slope is such a vertical slope that it's so close to literally being 90 degrees that you take a plumb line, which means you take a rope with a stone at the end, and you hold it over the edge of the drop. Now, this would be true about a wall as well. If the bottom of the drop, and I don't care how long that drop is, we're going to see it's machlokasin, but whatever the halacha is, obviously it's going to matter in terms of the angle. It's going to be defined by how deep the drop is. But the Chachamim gave you a further kula. Don't worry about the angle. We're going to give you one set of measurements. If the offset from the top of the drop to the bottom of the drop is less than 4 amot, then that's considered to be vertical. Now, there's two different approaches in the Rishonim. And what if it's vertical? So one shot would be, if it's vertical, it's not considered to be part of the Tchum because people cannot levitate. And so therefore, this area, they don't walk Bichlal. And it's not even included in the Tchum. The other approach is that it's a logistical problem. Rabbanu, we're making in order to make it easier for you to measure. And I'm going to see there's nafkemines halakha lemaisa between those two approaches. If you would be coming, let's say, to a wall, there would be a simple way of being koder. You wouldn't have to actually climb it unless it's really high. You could both hold a pole of the same height, put the string at the end of the pole. One guy stands on one side of the wall, one guy stands on the other side of the wall. And again, you get the area of the wall. But there too, if it's a sheer wall and it's defined the same way, if there's no displacement of 4 amot from the plumb line from the top, so then if it's considered to be a sheer wall, you don't even have to do that. And that is the third system. There's the havlah, there's the koder, and then there is the estimation. If something isn't usable, you're allowed to actually estimate what it appears to be approximately, and you just go on and measure from the other side. So we're going to be examining all of those issues today. But once we see it clearly, the different modalities of measurements, then we merely need to define the different sets of what things are included in how we measure. So that makes the sugya a lot easier. So let's start the Halakha Mishnah. Ein modedin el chevel shel chamishim ama lo pachot velo yoter. We want you to use a 50 ama rope, no less and no more, because basically, if it's less, you could put on too much pressure on it and the elasticity of the rope will be too much of a kula where you'll be stretching in order to keep it taut, but you'll actually stretch the material. And this would be why it would be better to use metal, which won't stretch, but the pusik says not to. Okay. So don't make it too stretchable, but don't make it longer than 50, because then you're not going to overcome the sag in the middle. If you can't overcome the sag in the middle, so then basically you're going to be cutting the tchum short. So at 50 is just right. Okay. Each side, meaning each one of the guys that are doing the surveying, holds the rope in the same location of the body to make it basically horizontal so we don't lose anything on the different sides, because of creating an angle. Is that Yoni? Yuval? That's Yuval. Okay, why'd he run away? I thought Yuval's not so shy. Okay. Very good. So, in that case, each one holds keneged libo. Now, how about if you're in the middle of measuring, hayamodet, and you get to a valley, come to this guy, or you get to this fence or this thick wall, so then you pass the rope over it, if possible. Mavlio, v'chozer lemidato. Now, chozer lemidato is already the hint. What do you mean, chozer lemidato? I never stopped, did I? Apparently, you did. And this is basically taking for granted that you're going to be able to move to the side and find a place where you could be mavlio and then go back and continue measuring, which we mentioned earlier. But the Gemara would make all these diyukim. So if you are able to be mavlio v'chozer l'midato, great. How about if you get to a mountain? Same thing. If you can be a mavlia the mountain, which is a hill actually, by holding it up and cutting across, or finding a place on even land, which is to the side of the mountain, but within the tchum, you can also measure that there. Ignore the slope of the mountain, which gets you a lot more place to walk, and it's a bit cooler for your tchum. And you can then go back and chozer l'midato when you get to the end of the mountain. Again, as I mentioned to you earlier, it's a machlokas. We're showing you what chozer l'midato means. Chozer l'midato, after you continue to measure to the point where you can now make a right turn or a left turn and go straight back to where you would have been. Or it means it doesn't matter whether you can or cannot. You give it a certification that this mountain is 50 amas because of the fact that you were able to measure it a little bit to that side, as long as it's within the tchum, and that's even a bigger kula. Okay. Im eino yochol lahavlio. What do you do then? Suppose there's no place that you can go where you can actually include it within the 50 amma rope. So there, bezo amar rabbi dustoyeb rabbi yanai, mishum rabbi meir, I have a kabbalah that I learned from Rabbi Meir, and that is you can actually drill a hole right through a mountain. So shamati shemekadrin beharim, and we put the rope right through the middle of the mountain, and that way we can ignore the slope. Now, obviously, we don't have the tools to do that, so we're going to do the next best thing, which the Gemara is going to explain. Okay, how do we get the idea that there's Chamishim Amma is like the best possible rope? Again, obviously, this is Begeder, an Esmachta. But Esmachtas are very meaningful, because as the Ritva explains, Esmachtas are real. It's just that it's your understanding of the application that allows you to attach it to the Pasuk. It's not that the Pasuk was coming first to teach you this, but it's usable when you mature to the point that you can use it. So that's true about Esmachtas for Gezeiras, says the Ritva. And Esmachtas for Gezeiras is something that's real. It means that there's a hint here in the structure of the Torah for the concern for this particular issue. And then when you mature to the point where this issue becomes relevant to you, it's time for you to look and to be sensitive to that Esmachta, which is amazing because it's an entirely different way of understanding. It's not a mnemonic, something much deeper than that. Or it's a real mnemonic the way we understand memory, right? Meaning that it was always part of the structure of reality and now becomes part of consciousness. So it's the ultimate mnemonic. Anyway, look, let's go back to the Chatzar Mishkan like we always do. It says over there, Orech HaChatzar Me'abama, Berochav Chamishim Ba Chamishim. Now, what the heck does that mean? Chamishim Ba Chamishim? That must mean measure 50 with a measuring rope of 50. So, Bechevel Shel Chamishim Ama Midot. Wait a minute. Before you said that Chamishim Ba Chamishim, that was that whole makar of taking the square root of the 5,000 Amas. That's what you said before. You said, take the 50 and spread it around the other 50, which essentially gives you the square root, right, in terms of the geometry of it. So how can you use it for two different things? You said it was lito chamishim or savev chamishim. Nah, you see, for that alone, it could have said chamishim chamishim by these units of 50s, okay? So, but why does it say ba chamishim? That means use the 50 to measure the 50. Aha, so that must be referring to this new halacha of the Chamishim Amma. And why lo pachot v'lo yoter? Why must I be so pedantic about it? Because it's lo pachot, because in the end, because it stretches, if it's too short, mipnei shemarbe, you're going to make the tchum way too long. And lo yoter, if it's more than Chamishim, you're going to lose too much of the area of the tchum into the sagging of the rope. It's very difficult. Anytime, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but to try to pull a very long rope taut is extremely difficult. And because of that, it's always going to lose a little bit of the measurement in the sagging of the rope. Omer Avasi, Ein modedin el bechevel shel afsikima. As you know, you've got to use afsikima. What? My afsikima. Oh, you know what afsikima is? Nargila. Okay, thanks a lot. What is a nargila, for heaven's sakes? Oh, I see. You never visit Mars, huh? I mean, everybody on Mars knows what a nargila is. So what, Omer of Yaakov, that's a dikla dechad navara. That's a sort of a palm tree with a vine. It's a machlokas what this is. Some learn that it's actually part of the palm tree and that it means the some of the basting that grows around, which is strange because we don't usually call that anything like this. But a dikla dechad navara would mean there's a certain type of vine that grows where one vine covers the entire dekel. That is a type of vine that is used to make a rope with. And others say, my afsikima, Rabbi Abi Omar Nargila, and Rabbi Yaakov Medikla Dechadnav. It's the same thing. We're just talking about who is the one that said exactly what. Okay, anyway, the question is, why in the world should we use something that has elasticity, which is certainly nowhere near as good as using metal, which over there we wouldn't have to worry about the whole elasticity problem. So, Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, obviously, look, if it was up to us, Ein lecha yafelim didai yoter mishal shalot shel barzel. The best thing of all would be for us to use metallic chains, okay? Avo ma nase, look, it's not up to us. The Torah said that uviado chevel mida, so that the malach shows Zechariah, and we find the same thing with Yechezkel, that the malach shows Yechezkel a measuring rope, and measures the Beis HaMikdash with it to show him the shear. Yeah? Doesn't it say, Uviyada ish, and in the hand of the man, this was the man that was the malach that came along with all of the kalim of the surveyor. And this in Yechezkel, it says he had a measuring stick. So a measuring stick is not a measuring chevel. Yeah, but remember where that pasuk is. That's where we were measuring the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. For a small measurement, you use a stick. But if you're talking about like the whole big thing of 50 amos at a time, for that, you used a chevel. So we'll atar it. Tani Rav Yosef. It's apparently not everybody that holds that you use afsikima. Because Rav Yosef says, look, there's only three different materials that are used for ropes. And in the Mishnahs that we have, okay? One of them is made out of Magag, one of them is made out of Netzer, one of them is made out of Pishtan. So the one that is made out of Magag is basically very soft reeds, and it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma at all, because it's not a Kli. And of course, anything that has to do with the Paraduma, we're very careful to avoid anything that could possibly be Mekabel Tuma. So that's the Magag, and we use that. I happen to have some of that available, if you want to see it, of the Magag rope. Because, of course, there's another place where we want to avoid Tuma. The Schach. Okay, so if you want to tie Schach, you would want to use a rope of Magag, right? So I got some. I'll show you. So here's a pile of rope of Magag. As you can see, it's nothing but reed, dried reed, and because of that, it's not going to be mekabel tumah, so it's very good for tying down your schach and avoiding any issues of being masmich the schach with the dover from the mekabel tumah and so on. Okay, so that would be used for the parah aduma. So if we're going to tie up the parah aduma, the body of the parah aduma, to put it on the ma'arechet. So kifatua bechevel hamagag unetanu agabi ma'arechta. Fine. So that is a Mishnah. Another place in a Mishnah is a different kind of rope, which is made out of Nitzarim, and that is the Arava branches. And that would be the Mishnah in Sota, where it says, Achakach mevi chevel ha-mitzri v'koshro l'mala midadea. So after the Kohen has ripped this poor woman's dress because of her behavior, so we tie the top of her dress in such a way that it shouldn't expose her breasts, so that right above her breasts, we tie it. And that's used Chevel HaMitzri because that's low class, and we want to show how low class her behavior was. And then Shel Pishtan, a linen rope is used for measuring the tum, and that's for Medida. So you see, he does not agree that you use Afsakima, you use simply Pishtan. And the interesting thing is, this is exactly what it says in Yechezkel. In Yechezkel, it says that the Malach had a chevel pishtan. That seems to be pretty clear, like Rabbi Yosef. Hayamu deid v'yigiyah, so then we go. Okay. Next thing in the Mishnah, we got up to a wall, we got up to a valley, so we should be mavlio. And then it says, v'chozer, and you go back. What do you mean you go back? So since it says you go back, apparently you have moved away from the straight line that you were measuring in. Why did you do that? Apparently because you got to a point where it was too wide, the valley, for you to be able to be Mavliya. And then you look to your right or your left. So if you're heading north, you're looking to your east, to your west, and you see, oh, wow, that's interesting. Look how thin the valley becomes just 500 feet away, right? It seems to be good. I'll walk there, measure there, complete my measurements, and then I'll make my left turn and come back to where I was before. That's what chozer means. Otherwise, why would I have to be chozer? So you see from there that you can be heilech lamokam sheyachol avliyo, umavliyo, and then you take a sighting on a straight line, and you're tzofer keneged midato v'chozer. Then you go back and you continue, which essentially is the meaning of the braita, except that Rebbe explained the whole braita with one word, v'chozer. So now we've got both Yoni and Yuval. Let's go, guys. Pay close attention. And now it teaches us the entire braita. The braita says, Hayam Odeid, v'hi giya hamida legai. So now you've got to this valley. Im yachol avliyo b'chevel shamishim amam avliyo. Im lav, holech lemakom sheyachol avliyo. So you turn left or right, get to the place where you are able to be mavliyo with chamishim ama. You do that, mavliyo. Take a sighting back to where you were. So feve chozer lemidato. And then continue on. Once again, I'm reminding you, this is the second reminder, that it's a machlokas. Rashi learns that that means you continue to measure until the point that you would be able to turn back right or left and get to the land and not be suspended in midair over the valley. However, other Rishonim say no. It means that you give a certificate for the width of the valley, and then even if you go back to the edge of the valley where you were before, you use that certificate to define the official value of the width of the valley, and you don't have to actually continue on to the point where you're able. A big kula. Okay, anyway, so if you can be mavliya bechevel, fine. And im haya gai meukam, however, suppose the valley curves, okay? And so then you've got a problem, because if it curves outside of the tchum and it's no longer connected where you were, people are going to make a mistake and they're not going to realize that you are measuring in that place in order to get back to where you were. They are going to think that you're measuring the tchum on that side of the city, which you were not. And because of that, may come to the wrong conclusion about where they're allowed to walk. Or they might think that you're allowed to use something that is more than 50 amas in order to do the havlah. So because of that, we don't allow you to do that. And what you have to do over there is koder. So koder means you make a hole straight across the valley in a way that allows you to ignore the slope of the valley. And because of that, you can be magdir. So if it was mu'ukam, you're magdir v'oleh, magdir v'yored, and the same thing would be true about a wall. You come to a wall. If you come to a wall, you don't really have to make a hole through the wall. You're allowed to use the third technique, and the third technique was amida. So you can use estimation. Now, we're going to see that it is not really a function of wall, valley, mountain, and so on, but that we're just taking norms over here. And again, the question is, the ease either of use, the way Rashi learns it, so that it's considered to be a real place that people would walk over, or ease of measurement, the way other Rishonim learn it. No yawning allowed there. What's going on, Yuval? What's going on? And you would have to actually, depending on what the size is of what you're dealing with, it could be that we'll treat the mountain the way you treat the wall over here. We'll treat the valley the way you treat the wall. There's a difference, a fundamental difference, that the Gemara is taking for granted between valleys that go down and structures or mountains that go up. And the difference is that snappling down is easy to learn and to do. So because of that, we don't make life miserable for you just because you got to do a little bit snappling. It's not so terrible. But for you to be able to do mountain climbing, that's already, we're not mechayev you. So logistically, we're going to give you bigger kulas on walls and mountains than we will in valleys, as we'll see. Now, the question is, it says in the Mishnah over here, if you come to a fence, it says, you came to a gader, mavliyo v'chozer lo midato. How come it says over here you could just estimate it? The mission didn't talk about estimating. The mission gave you the option of either being Koder or being Mavliya. How come nobody said anything about Omeid? So there's got to be a difference between the case in the Braita that allows Amidah versus the case in the Mishnah that demands Havla'a, right? Answers the Gemara, aha, this is the first hint that we have that the usage is going to be the real definition, not the name that you give it. How easy is it to utilize this area, according to Rashi? Because if it's usable, then you really have to worry about it. If it isn't usable, so then it shouldn't be part of your tchum anyway, because it doesn't count. And according to the others, it's because it's just too much tircha. We don't ask you to do it. So the difference is, how convenient is it to use? Noach. Ihatam nechatash mishnah. So in the Mishnah, when we said, look, no, you're going to have to be mavlio. There it's talking about where, look, I mean, it may not be the easiest thing to walk over, but it's not all that difficult. The wall basically collapsed. And now it's like, it's a pile of broken stones and stuff. So there you've got to be able to be mavlio. If you can't be mavlio, you do koder. Mashenken in the Braita, nobody is going to climb the wall that goes straight up. And therefore, you estimate it, either because it's too hard for us to do otherwise, or because it's not really usable, and therefore, who cares to use it as part of the tchum? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Now, there's another thing that you got to know about the idea of koder, because koder is not easy. Koder means that we're going to be doing this snappling down, except that we're going to be doing it in steps, instead of actually taking the entire slope into consideration, right? Now, you don't necessarily have to do that, because suppose you have close to a vertical fall. If it's close to vertical, then they were not mechayev you to do koder with steps, which makes sense. In other words, if the angle between the bottom of the area that you're snappling down and the top gets closer to an actual straight line, so then you don't have to do it. So lo shanu ela she'en chuta mashkolet yoret kenegdo. So you take a plumb line, basically you tie a rock to a string, you lower the rock, and gravity will keep it now completely vertical to the center of the earth, and then you see if it goes straight down to the bottom of the valley, then you don't have to worry about the slope. But obviously, it doesn't go straight down to the bottom of the valley. The Gemara is going to ask, how exactly do we find straight down? But if it goes straight down, then you don't have to worry about the slope. If it doesn't go straight down, then you got to do this business about doing a sort of an estimate on the slope by utilizing the step method, which we're calling kidur. So if ein chuta mashkolet yoret kenegdo, that's when you need to do the kidur. But if you have chuta mashkolet going straight down, then we're going to see what straight down means. I mentioned it to you earlier. Straight down means that it doesn't go more than 4 amot away from the edge where you're standing by the time it hits the bottom. Now, it's going to turn out, doesn't matter how far away the bottom was. There's different shitas how far away we'd allow this, which obviously is going to affect the slope. But the Chazal gave us a simple way of measuring, and this simple way of measuring gave us one standard measurement, no more than 4 amos away at the bottom. Okay. All right. But, I mean, how wide is the valley? How deep is the valley? I mean, doesn't that matter? How can you actually just ignore? I mean, you've got something that may be miles deep. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the Mariana Trench. I mean, you can't just estimate that, can you? So, kama omko shel gai. Rabbi Yosef says, it could be 2,000 amas deep, okay? If it's 2,000 amas deep, then you can be mavlio. But if not, then you have to do a little bit, good grief, a little bit of snappling. Eit ve'abaye. Hold on. It says in the Braita, amok me'a verochav chamishi mavlio. If it's 100 amas deep and 50 amas wide, the 50, of course, is in order to be mavlio with the robe, then you can be mavlio. But if it's any deeper than 50 amas, then you cannot be mavlio. And how do you claim that it can be up to 2,000 amas deep? I don't understand that. Oh, you're right. This is definitely dead set against me, said Rabbi Yosef, but there happens to be another shita that I am following, and that's the shita of the Acherim. Here's the bright that I'm relying on, the Tanya. Acherim omrim afilo omak alpayim. Even if it's 2,000 amas deep, as long as it's 50 amas wide and you can get your rope across from one end to the other, you can still be mavliya. This is version number one of Rabbi Yosef. Now, there's an Ikedi Amri where Rabbi Yosef says even more than 2,000 amas. I don't care how deep it is. Wait a second. So then Rabbi Yosef doesn't have anybody to back him up. Not the Acherim and not the first Breita. First Breita said 100. The Acherim said Alpayim. Who's he going like to say that even more than Alpayim? Answers the Gemara, the case is different. Hatam, the Breita, is talking about where the Ein Chut HaMishkolet Yoret Kinegdo. So that's talking about where you've got a gentle incline, because by the time it gets to the bottom, it's more than four amas away. That makes it, according to Rashi, more accessible for people who would snapple it on Shabbos, or, according to Tosfos, according to many other Rishonim, actually, it makes it more accessible for the surveyor, and therefore we're not makel on him, and he can snapple down. And I don't care. There he would have to actually do his snappling, because it's a little bit more accessible. So okay, so the Tanna Kamma says, all right, how deep would it be for you to snapple? 100 amas. Others say only if it's 2,000 amas. Okay, so there I understand, but Rabbi Yosef was talking about where it's vertical. Where it's vertical, again, it's not usable according to Rashi, or it's really too difficult to snapple according to other Rishonim, and therefore we are not Machai of you, and you can still go ahead and be Mavli'o. Now, I told you this before, but the Gemara finally gets to it. What is called a deviation from the vertical? How much is a deviation? What are we talking about? Omra Avimi, we're talking about four amas from the top. Tony Rami Bar Yecheskel, we're talking about four amas from the top. And we have one standard value of four amas, despite the fact that obviously the angle of descent will depend on how deep it was. That's another part of the kula. Okay, there's other places where also we do not have a din of Mavlio. So let's take a look at the Braita. Higia lahar, sorry, to the Ma'amorim. Higia lahar, Mavlio v'chozer l'midato. A mountain can also be spanned by your Chamishim Amah, Omar Rava. This is only, it depends on the slope of the mountain. So in the case of a mountain, where the har is mitlaket asara mitoch arba. So remember, we consider the slope of 10 tfachim every 4 amos, we give that a din of like a mechitza. So it's considered to be a real slope that is choshev. But if it's, let's say, more than that, so then it's a hara mitlaket, let's say, only within 5 amos. Then it goes up 4 amos. So then it's like it's level. And you don't get any kula, because that's very easy to walk. And that's part of the general difference between land that's going up slightly, going down slightly. And over there, we don't have any of these halachas. And so you're modedo mida yafa. Ravuna Bered Rav Nosson says, no, you have it backwards. You said Rava over backwards. Actually, Rava was saying a kula. Well, you have it. Rava's saying a big chumra. That if it's gentle, the slope, then you have to actually include the whole slope. The way I learned it was like this. Amar Rava Loshana, when do we say that you have to be mavliya a mountain that's only in a har hamitlaket asara mitoch hamesh, where it has a sort of gentle slope? But once it's a har hamitlaket asara mitoch arba, so then it's a real serious slope, then all you need to do is be omeid. So then you just need to estimate it, and then you don't even have to be mavlio. So this was the din that we had before of the gader. It's a question not whether it's a fence or whether it's a mountain. It's a question of how steep are we talking about. This equals a slope of close to 25 degrees, actually a little bit less. And then we said in the Mishnah, you can go back, but you can't go out of the Tchum. What's so terrible if I got to go 5 miles to the side in order to be Mavliya? Very simple, says Rav Kahana. It's a gzera. There's nothing fundamentally wrong with it. It's just that if people see you measuring all the way out there, they make the mistake of thinking that the Midat Chumim comes all the way out here and carry, and walk out there on Shabbos. So because of that, we don't want official surveyors to be going around in places where people should not think, hey, looky, looky, apparently the Tchum comes out here. We don't let them go there. And now finishes up the Mishnah. Then comes along Rav Dusta Bar Yana, and he says, I heard that you can actually laser beam straight through the mountain, and you can be Magdir the mountain. Tana Rabbanan, if you don't have a mountain-piercing laser, how exactly would you do this? Ketzad Mikadri. Okay, so the guy who is standing below the one who's on the upper part of the slope, he will always be holding the rope where he always does, against his chest, at the point of the chest where his heart is. Mashenke, the guy who's on the upper end, to maintain the horizontal and not to lose any of the distance on the vertical, he holds the rope keneged margalotav. And obviously you can't use a 50 amot rope to do this because there is no way that you're going to make a step that's 50 amot long on the slope of a valley. You use a rope, says Abaya, naktinan, it's my Kabbalah, that ain't mekadrin el b'chevel shel arba amot. To do this, you use a standard 4 amot long stair. The stair being made out of that rope. All right, now, Omrib Nachun, Omer Rabba Baravua, you need to know that this din is a big, big kula that allows you to avoid the slope. And because of that, we cannot use this kula when it comes to a measurement which is Nogea Dioraita. So if we're talking about Egla Arufa, where we need to determine what city is responsible for the murder, you have to actually measure every single step and every single slope. There's no kula, not havla, and not koder, and not omed, nothing. It's got to be measured. And you cannot either when it comes to the dinim of the orei miklat, and at what point the klita, the protection that's given you by the orei miklat, drops off. It drops off as a function of real tchum, not this kind of kula type of tchum. So when it comes to Ari Miklat, there, I mean, we could be deciding a murder case. It would be Nogea capital halacha. If a guy killed someone within the outside of the tchum, he would be potter. You got to know exactly where that is. Veloba Ari Miklat, mipnei shen shel Torah. So anything that has to do with the Dioraita, there's no mocker for any of this to give you a kula to use different kinds of modalities of measurements. And there we cannot. So this gets us basically into our three different modalities of measurement, and it also makes pretty clear what type of things are included in which types of those modalities. It also describes the differences between the materials used for different halachas and the modalities used for different halachas, depending if it's a d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So it's a very general, wonderful, kind of broad sugya, and allows us to move on to questions of expertise. What do we do when the experts disagree? A very, very contemporary issue, you might have noticed.